Let me go to another issue, and it's an issue that grew yesterday as the day went by. Groups on both sides of the abortion debate each took a bit of a hit yesterday, as well as finding something to celebrate. Pro-choice campaigners were first dealt a blow by Belfast's Court of Appeal ruling that Northern Ireland's restrictive abortion laws are not in breach of human rights. But in a surprise twist, the Chancellor across in England later announced that women from Northern Ireland will now be able to get abortions on the NHS in England. And that really annoyed the pro-life groups. Let me speak to Gráinne Taggart from Amnesty International, a group that's very much pro-choice. Gráinne, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
Gráinne, pro-life campaigners breathed a sigh of relief yesterday because it looks like as if Northern Ireland certainly isn't for going down any road close to the abortion on demand system that exists in England.
Well, certainly, yesterday's court ruling, first of all, didn't look at broader issues outside of fetal abnormalities and rape and incest. It was those particular circumstances. And undoubtedly, yes, it was a setback. But we are heartened by the Northern Ireland Human Rights Commission's commitment to continue with this litigation and to take this case to the Supreme Court. But undoubtedly, I was at the court yesterday with Sarah. There is disappointment. We found the ruling absurd and an insult to women and girls. But we continue our fight.
This is Sarah Ewart that you're remarking on. A prime example of someone who's coped with the fetal abnormality issue.
Absolutely. I mean, Stormont has been failing women for too long on this issue. But we do call on them, if we have our devolved institutions restored, and if not Westminster, to act urgently to reform Northern Ireland's abortion laws and prioritise bringing our legislation into the 21st century. That must include, obviously, in these circumstances, but also look at issues around decriminalisation of abortion, because, of course, what we are seeing is an increasing number of women haul through the criminal justice system here. But the announcement there yesterday from the UK government that Northern Irish women can avail of free, safe, legal abortions on the NHS in England and Wales is obviously a welcome announcement. We're pleased to see the government concede on that issue, and it is an important step for women's rights and towards ending the ludicrous situation where women from Northern Ireland are denied the right to healthcare that those in the rest of the UK take for granted.
Unborn babies, however, hand over fist are being killed in England, including 725 last year from Northern Ireland.
724, as you say, women from Northern Ireland travelled to England last year for an abortion. And what that shows is whether or not, well, the restrictive laws don't stop abortions from happening. Women will always seek and need abortions. And we need our politicians to respond sensitively and with compassion in a way that protects the rights of women.
But people will be a little surprised. They shouldn't be, because you've been on the media and on this very programme often enough to know where Amnesty International stand on it. But maybe someone listening for the first time will be surprised that Amnesty International has no sympathy whatsoever for the unborn child.
Well, of course we wouldn't put it in the way that you've just described, Frank. What we have seen firsthand, and we've spoke to women who have been impacted by our severely restricted laws, and whilst we appreciate that abortion is a sensitive and a difficult issue for some, the reality is that women have and need and seek abortions. So the move by the UK government is welcome, but it's no substitute for the Northern Ireland Assembly, if and when we have it back, getting our own house in order and legislating for proper access to abortion care.
Stay with me, please, Gráinne. I want to speak to Bernie Smith from Precious Life. Bernie, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
724 women from this part of the world went and had an abortion in England last year. That's absolute proof that women need the service here.
Well, the fact, Frank, that over the last 10 years there has been a 53% decrease in women travelling to the UK speaks for itself, that we're actually getting somewhere in the services, the life-affirming care that we provide and would like to continue to provide. And we obviously would need a lot more support to do that.
But that might be down to more unwanted pregnancies.
Well, what we're actually
or down to less unwanted pregnancies.
When there's real help provided, women do make life-affirming choices, and we can see that day in and day out in Northern Ireland with the help and support that we provide for women through our Stanton healthcare project. So what actually did happen yesterday was an attack on democracy, in the sense that in our own High Court in Belfast, democracy was respected. But yet in Westminster, a decision was made to ride roughshod over the views of the vast majority of people here. And this decision will impact the future lives of more unborn children and will impact the lives of women. And when we look at Westminster and the rest of the UK, we can see that England has now become the abortion capital of the world. If you look at the statistics that it shows from the Department of Health for the last year, women from all over the world are having abortions in the UK, and now they want to increase that by providing more abortions for women in Northern Ireland free of charge.
Yes, but Bernie, why should...
You mentioned why should... Abortion is not healthcare because it doesn't provide that support for women in crisis pregnancy, and it's never medically needed here in Northern Ireland for any woman.
Why should a woman from Northern Ireland have to pay for a service that a woman from Luton or Oxfordshire can get on the National Health Service? Surely what happened yesterday is an example of equal rights for women who are part of the tax-paying system within the United Kingdom.
Well, irregardless of that, Frank, the law here states very clearly that abortion is a criminal offence, so we must respect the law here, and the law gives protection to unborn children.
But it's not a criminal offence in England.
The law is an agreement. Yes, but it's a criminal offence here, and the law here is... the people of Northern Ireland agree with the law here, and the vast majority of people have said time and time again, the Northern Ireland Assembly have voted time and time again, and the four main parties in 2008 signed a joint declaration in opposition to the extension of the 1967 Abortion Act. So the law as it stands here, protects unborn children, and that's how it should be.
Yes, but that's not answering my question. The question was, why should a woman from Northern Ireland who's having an abortion in England have to pay for it when a woman from Luton doesn't have to pay for it?
Well, very similar to other so-called needs for healthcare, like people, you know, in particular, there was a girl on a programme the other day talking about better breast cancer services here. Why is funds being used to take the lives of innocent unborn children when there needs to be more funds here to help with better healthcare for women and for patients here who need it? So, you know, we could talk about different laws that apply to different countries, but the reality here is that we protect unborn children because we cherish life, unlike Amnesty International, who have no respect for human life whatsoever, who want to bring about a legislation that will bring in abortion on demand right up to the moment of birth. And the opposite is here in Northern Ireland, we cherish and value life, and we want to ensure that our health care is used to save lives, not take life, whether that is in other parts of the UK or Northern Ireland. Our taxes should be used to save life, not take life.
Now, Gráinne Taggart, I'll let you react to that.
Yeah, there's a few points there I want to pick up on. First of all, the decrease that Bernie referred to, how that also can be explained, of course, is we know that there's an increasing number of women going online and procuring abortion pills. The statistics also don't include those women who, for example, give the address of friends or family members in England. So there's only so far and so much of a picture that the official statistics will paint. Bernie referred to Standing Healthcare, of course, organisations like the Family Planning Association here, who offer unbiased counselling to women who are faced with these very difficult circumstances. They also see the impact of our laws here because they're dealing with women in these very difficult circumstances. Bernie had also mentioned about abortion never medically being needed. Of course, the point that Sarah Ewart and other women in those circumstances have continuously been making is that, you know, she was given a diagnosis that basically the skull and the brain of her unborn child, as Bernie would phrase it, or fetus, hadn't properly developed. Now, confronted with that reality, our laws rather cruelly forced her onto a plane because she couldn't get the healthcare service that she needed here locally.
Right?
I'm still talking, Bernie, thank you. I'm still talking.
When
Bernie says also that people here don't agree with the law, of course, successive opinion polls would point otherwise, and those aren't just the polls that have been commissioned by Amnesty International. If we look at the University of Ulster's publication there recently, it also demonstrates that. But the bottom line is this: women and girls need to be trusted and empowered to make autonomous decisions around their own reproductive of health and lives. Criminal law in the way that we have in Northern Ireland and the threat of punitive sanctions, such as, for example, life imprisonment, should never be used to control or remove such choices. Criminal laws against abortion, they contribute to the stigma that women who seek abortions experience, and it can also deter our healthcare providers, including our doctors, from providing abortions even when they're legal. And we obviously welcome, of course, recently that BMA support Amnesty and others in our position that abortion needs to be decriminalised so that it's dealt with through healthcare policy, because it's a healthcare issue, not one for the criminal justice system.
Yeah, just before I let Bernie Smith come back on that, there's one thing I want you to clear up for people who may be listening who'd like to know Amnesty International's policy. And Bernie Smith alluded to it. Does Amnesty International believe that a woman should have the right to have an abortion right up to the point of birth?
I've been very clear on this previously. Amnesty International does not call for the extension of the 1967 Act to Northern Ireland. We call for our laws to uphold women's rights, and that includes in these difficult circumstances, but it also means that women who are in these circumstances aren't faced with the threat of criminal sanction.
But do you support an abortion right up to the point of birth?
Well, abortions right up to the point of birth very, very rarely happen. When they do happen, it's usually because there's something has went unfortunately horribly wrong with the pregnancy. The majority of terminations happen in the first trimester of pregnancy, and that is consistent with how most European states legislate on this issue.
But you fully support all forms of social abortion?
No, we don't call for the extension of the 1967 Act. It's not a human rights compliant piece of legislation.
You don't call for it here, but you support it elsewhere.
No, we support women having access to abortions when they are needed. We acknowledge that women from Northern Ireland are travelling up to 2,000 per year, despite what the official statistics would have us believe. And we can see that quite clearly our politicians, whether it's at Stormont or Westminster, need to grapple with this issue.
Bernie Smith.
Well, I've never heard as much nonsense in my whole life. Like, Agronia and Amnesty have to face the reality. What they actually are calling for when they talk about decriminalisation of abortion is abortion on demand for any reason throughout the whole 9 months of pregnancy. Yeah. Unlike precious life, you're calling for better resources and care for women, because abortion is not healthcare. It's the direct and intentional killing of an unborn child, and it's never medically needed. I mean, it was shown recently, and we talk about the stats for the UK, that were provided by the Department of Health, the UK Department of Health, say very clearly, so she can undermine the fact that these are government statistics, and they show very clearly that 90%, 97% of abortions undertaken were taken underground sea because of the risk of the women's mental health. There's very clear evidence from the recent violations, over 2,600 health and safety violations disclosed by the Care Quality Commission. A damning report on the likes of Murray Stokes showed very clearly that we are not providing good health care for women. In fact, over 300 reported complications and one woman died. The important thing that we have to look at here is we need to provide better services that care for both lives, the mother and her unborn child, because abortion is not medically necessary. When you talk about abortion up to birth, when you talk about late-term abortions, the statistics show very clearly that over 90% of disabled children diagnosed will die through abortion in the UK. This is not what we want to see here in Northern Ireland. In fact, a survey in the UK showed that there was a change in attitude towards late-term abortions. People are disgusted when they see what abortion does to an unborn child. And the reality is people need to know what abortion really is, Frank. They need to know that it is a violent attack on the most defenceless in our society. And it's shameful that a so-called human rights organisation would want to deny the fundamental right to life. The protection of the most vulnerable begins in the womb and should be throughout the whole of everyone's life. Protection and care and loving support for those mothers and care and the fundamental right to life of each unborn child.
I'll give you the final word on it, Gráinne Taggart.
Okay, look, the bottom line is this. Bernie's position advocates, obviously, clearly an anti-choice stance, and that she doesn't think women should have access to these services.
I'm all about
the bottom
choice.
Line is that
not
women
killing.
Do seek these services, and that women are perfectly capable of deciding for themselves what form of healthcare
women
they need. It isn't
informed.
For Bernie and others to enforce their position
the
so that it limits women's choices. We need space and legislation for women to make these difficult choices
between them
and their doctors.
Ladies, it's a reminder, if you don't mind me saying, that it is an emotive issue, and it's going to be one here in Northern Ireland that I don't think I'll ever see sorted in my lifetime. But I really appreciate both of you coming on. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Frank.
It's a Grainne Taggart from Amnesty International, Bernie Smith from Precious Life. And every time it comes up, we're reminded of how divisive it is in this part of the world.